And while you're turning, we just want to welcome all of our visitors that's here, amen, and who may be here from other ministries. We praise God for you, and even those that's tuning in live stream on the internet, we praise God for you as well. Hallelujah. And so we're going to get going here in a second. Just want to say a couple of announcements while you're turning to our text for tonight. Well, I heard about the Titus night, the ladies' ministry. Woo! Man, I heard y'all had an awesome time, man. Just a lot of laughing and joy and tears, amen. Hallelujah. Some women were still crying the next day, amen, for the revelation in the presence of God and one generation declaring the works of the Lord to another generation. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And so we'll have some pictures, amen, on Sunday, and we'll talk more about it. Amen. You got to know that mostly everything was donated. The food was donated, the decorations, and it just came together. Amen. I praise God for my little wife, who is, just a master administrator by the grace of God, just putting all that together, and all the people who helped out, the decorators, amen, and Miss T and her sister, Miss Lillian, amen, who cooked the food and donated all the food. Woo! We pray a special blessing on y'all for that, amen. And if y'all have any leftovers, because I heard it was good, man. You know what I'm saying? And so, also, saints, we got a special concert coming at Philadelphia. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's going to be brought to you by Revive Soul. Amen. And we're going to have all of our homegrown artists, the artists that the worshipers that the Lord putting together with us, a voice. Hallelujah. Passion. Amen. Velocity. I'm saying all these stage names. Let me see. James Malvo, Brandon Hunt, Brian LeBlanc. Amen. And so it's going to be awesome. There's also a special guest. How y'all say his name? Oh, is or is he? You know the church, the song, Let the Church Say. Yeah, y'all know the song. Y'all know the song. And so he's going to be here. Amen. And Phil, what was the date of that? Malvo, what's the date? 11. November 11th. Amen. And so you all want to come out, man, and just have some fun in the Lord. Listen to some good music, amen. It's going to be a lot of different genres of music. It's going to be a blessing. And so mark your calendars on November 11th, amen. Hallelujah, I'm sure going to be there. Good Lord, spare life and limb, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Let the church say amen. That's right, that's right, that's right. All right, any other announcements? Any other announcements? Anything else? We good? We good? All right. Well, all right, let's look at 2 Samuel 13, and we'll start off reading in verse 1, kind of go through the scriptures a little bit, and hallelujah, we'll look at it, glory to God, hallelujah. 2 Samuel 13, 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. He shouldn't have said that to anybody, amen. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick, pretend to be sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Father, we thank you. Add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, to give you a little context of where we are in 2 Samuel, we've been studying about David's kingdom and all of his victories and all of his accolades, and everything was going great. Amen. And then he sinned with Bathsheba and the bottom fell out. It was consequences, amen, for his sin. We observe, amen, that Amnon, one of David's sons, his eldest son, he lusted after his own sister, Tamar. Now, it was his half-sister, amen, but nonetheless, his sister. And he couldn't do anything to her. He was trying to get a private audience with her and talk with her. And if you remember in biblical days, amen, especially in the Old Testament, unmarried women, unmarried daughters were kept from the company of mostly all men. It didn't matter if it was family, it didn't matter if it was boys their age or whatnot. They didn't put any confidence in the flesh. They didn't give an occasion for sin, amen, give place to the devil. And we talked about our need to take better care of our girls, and especially these days, our boys, amen, just watching them a little bit better. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight, amen, as you knew I would be talking about children. You know, well, because of the safety mechanisms that were in place, it was over for Amnon's lust. He couldn't get his hands or even communicate with his sister, amen, alone for a moment. And so it was over with. And in the text that we have here, the Bible says, but Amnon had a friend. And this friend was Jonadab, and he was a subtle man. He had the wisdom of Solomon, amen, but he was wicked, amen. He wasn't as righteous and wasn't a good person. And so he had wisdom to do all the wrong things. And so Amnon, hallelujah, Amnon's friend Jonadab concocts this plan, amen. And through this plan, hallelujah, everything is going to go wrong. And so we began a series of messages talking about, amen, how we got to watch our friends and who we hang with, because evil communication corrupts good manners. And then we went through Jonadab, all of his characteristics, and just really was trying to discern whether any of those characteristics were in us and if God would take them out of us. And so we talked about the envy of Jonadab and how he was envious of Amnon. We talked about his selfish ambition. We talked about how he was a flatterer, and he was flattering, amen, Amnon. We talked about, amen, how if Jonadab was a good friend, how this situation would have been totally different. And so we, hallelujah, gave you a word on how to identify good friends and how not to choose the bad friends over the good friends. We talked about that. And last week, we had a sermon on make thyself sick. And we saw how David, hallelujah, was deceived by Amnon. He called David and he played like he was sick, if y'all remember. David's son played like he was sick. And he told his daddy, let my sister come cook for me and feed me from her hand to my mouth. Amen? And that was a strange request. You see what I'm saying? And we're going to get more into it. But David was deceived just like he deceived Uriah. And we began to talk about what goes around and what we do to people usually come back on us. And so we just talked about the laws of the harvest. What we sow, that's what we're going to reap. The same kind of thing we sow will reap usually the same kind. David sowed deception and he reaped deception right back. It won't be immediately because we reap in different seasons than we sow in. It's an agricultural thing. And a lot of times when we do bad, we think that somehow God has forgotten or we got away with it. And I could just see David saying, well, nothing bad is happening. And bam, Absalom, Tamar, and Amnon, you see. And lastly, we talked about that we reap more than what we sow. And we learned that just from planting gardens, amen. You could plant one seed, but you'll get a whole tree. You'll get a whole stalk of corn, amen. One kernel, a whole stalk of corn, amen. And this teaches us that when we do wrong, count the cost. Because you're not going to receive one for one equal, hallelujah, recompense from the Lord. God's going to give you more than what you gave him, amen. And it's in an attempt not to be wrong or mean. It's an attempt to teach us a lesson, amen, so that we would never do it again. All right? If God let the consequences be equal to our sin, then we could barter with God. We can bargain. You say, God, I'll take two sins for two judgments. You know what I'm saying? You know? But when you don't know how God going to break loose on you, when you don't know how he going to act up, then you say, I'm not going to touch that. I'm going to stay far away from it. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Well, listen, we're going to continue in chapter 13 tonight, and we want to focus in on verse 6. And the title of this message is A Couple of Cakes. And you know that I'm being true to expositive preaching because I'm just taking the verses. I'm just going line by line, and I'm just dealing with every one of them. You know what I'm saying? It just so happens that, you know, every point is taking a whole sermon to do. You know what I'm saying? But it is expositive preaching. And so a couple of cakes. And we'll have like three sub-points. And if you remember, y'all, we're going to be dealing with children. Amen. And so if you're here and you have children, great. If your children grown and gone, use it on your grandkids. If you don't have any kids, amen, you should be having some soon. So take notes. Put the CD in the closet. Amen. Because we are a fruitful church. Amen. If you pass the year of childbearing, miracles happen. Amen. Sarah and Abraham and Mary, amen. But if you're done, amen, you can maybe even give this CD or hook them up and give them the link online to some parents that you know having trouble. My wife was encouraging me and saying that this word, amen, is a word that's needed, amen, for our people, our community, and every Christian. And so we were going over it before church, and so she was encouraging me, amen. Because sometimes you don't know what the Lord give you until you get up here. Amen. And so we're going to talk a little bit. We'll have 3 points. Amen. We'll talk about number one, no. Number two, shepherd. Number three, don't aid and abet. And this is coming out of the text, and we'll see here how this works. Amen. Hallelujah. We got people getting revelation already. Hallelujah. And so let's begin with our first point. No. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 13:6, so Amnon lay down and made himself sick. He was pretending. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto David the king, I pray thee, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat it at her hand. Now, saints of God, on the surface, this may look innocent. Amen. Hallelujah. A brother asking his sister to come on in and visit him while he's sick. To the naive, all Amnon wants is a couple of cakes, maybe from his sister who can bake, amen, the best in the family. But under close inspection, saints, Amnon had an ulterior motive. He wanted to take advantage of his younger sister. He wanted to, hallelujah, eventually force her and rape her, as we're going to see here in the text. The first thing is that David, amen, the revelation God gave me, David should have known his son before this incident. He should have known his son. When we're given children, we don't get children the day before they do something bad. We usually, amen, in the hospital room with them. We tell them, I've been knowing you since before you've been knowing yourself. First time you opened your eyes, I was there. What I'm saying is that David should have known his son, Amnon. And he never should have sent his daughter to Amnon's house to know. If David would have taken time to know his son, this whole incident would have been prevented. The whole incident. Everything. No rape, no murder, no loss of kingdom. Everything would have been prevented if David would have spent some time getting to know his son. God showed me a scripture in Proverbs 20:11, amen. And it's a beautiful scripture. It's one that's real deep. And so we're going to spend a little time looking at it. It says, even a child is what? Is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. This verse is telling us a few different things. To begin with, there's a presumption in the verse. And you got to look close or you'll never see it. All right? The first thing this verse is telling us is, this verse is talking about adults. I know you can't see adults in it just yet. But adults are there. And that verse is telling us that we can know adults by watching their doings, by the way they act. I know you can't see it. We're going to show you in a second. We can know adults, and we know this. If we watch somebody long enough, we can discern what type of people they are. Am I lying? Am I lying? Amen? Amen? All we got to do is watch them. All we got to do is watch them. We know that. All we got to do is watch them. And we can discern if they're good or if they're bad, if they're wicked, if they're godly. Amen? All we got to do is watch. Jesus corroborates this in Matthew 7:16. He says, you shall know them by their, what they do. What they do. We can know them by their fruits, their actions. So just watching an adult, watching someone, you can tell what kind of person they are, their character. You see? And once you can discern somebody's character, then you know how to operate with them from that point. Amen? We can look at Matthew 7:18. It says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So once you watch them for a while, you can tell what kind of tree they are. Anybody hear me up here? You can tell what kind of person they are. All right? And it's not just one or two things, because everybody makes mistakes. But we're talking about a pattern of living. All right? A lot of us don't read patterns. And so we get under bad trees because we see a bad pattern and we expect good fruit. And we wonder why they stab us in the back and they hurt us and they steal from us and they talk about us. And we stand under the bad tree saying, God, why am I getting bad fruit? And God is saying, duh, because you're under a bad tree. All right? All right? And the converse is true. If you discern a good tree, it don't mean they're perfect. Everybody say the wrong thing every once in a while. And everybody do the wrong thing every once in a while. The Bible said a righteous man falleth 7 times. But what happened? He get right back up. All right? It's not that he's perfect, but he's striving for perfection. And you can get a feeling of who's striving, who's not. Who's pushing and who's not. Who's after God and who's not. And when you discern a good tree, amen, don't get under a good tree and expect bad fruit. Because a good tree, 9 times out of 10, going to give you good fruit. Come on now. Give God some glory. Amen. All right. 1 Samuel 24:13. Look what it says. It says, wickedness proceeded from the wicked. And you'd be surprised who was saying this. It was David saying that. Now, David given wisdom that later on, if he would have just walked in it. If you would have known your son and apply what you know. To what you know about your son. Hey, God, some things might not have happened. You see? Even a child is what? Is known by his doings. Here's the second thing. The second thing this teaches us, it doesn't only teach us about adults, all right? Adults are known by their doings. But now look at the verse again. It teaches us about children. The adult is presupposed in the scripture. It's like God is saying, of course we know adults by the way they act and what they do. Then he comes back and he says, not only adults, even a child is known by his doings. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? What's going on? How's everything? Good to see you. We went to church together, in cell group together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Even a child is known by his doings. Now, y'all, here's the deal. We all know that we can see adults and discern adults. And we can discern adults to the point to where we know, hallelujah, their pattern of activity. We know adults. But a lot of people don't know that the same thing applies to children. A lot of people don't know that the same thing applies to children. Even a child is known. You know what I'm saying? By their doings. Now, you see, y'all going to be quiet in here probably most of the time. I can feel it won't be a shouting message already. You can tell, amen, by the way they act, whether the child is pure, right, clean, or unclean, good or wicked. You see? And some Bible commentators say that you can actually tell whether a child is a good tree or a bad tree, easier than you can tell adults. The Benson commentary says it like this. You can discover the inclinations of children because they have not yet learned how to hide. You know what I'm saying? You can discover their inclinations, their predispositions to bad things. As adults, we learn how to cover up, how to conceal, you know, how to put on a front, a facade, you see? The younger the child, amen, the easier it is to tell the things that's in their heart, all right? This is going to help you, yeah. It's going to hurt, but it's going to help you, all right? The pulpit commentary says this, a child is open. A young child is simple, straightforward in their actions. They do not yet have the concealments which men have learned from practice. So you can see their conduct and you can tell what is their real character. And you don't have to spend long looking at them. But you do have to look. David wasn't looking, y'all. David didn't know his son. I want to ask you a question. Do you know your children? You see that? You see how quiet it is, Frankie? It's quiet up in here. Do you know your children? The Bible is telling us you can know them, saints. Do you know your grandchildren? You can know them. You can know their strengths, their weaknesses, their predispositions to sin. You already know their history, the generational bondages and curses. You know them better than the child. You know where y'all come from as a family. You can know your children. And if you know them, you'll never be surprised like I see most parents surprised. My child? Now we in court in front of lawyers, judges, expert witnesses and everything. My child would never. Yana, can we play the tape here? Can you start at 255.3? That's not him. Do you know your children? You see? If David would have known Amnon, we wouldn't be in the mess that we in the text. Let me just talk about a few things that you should know about your children. You should know whether they love God or not. That's what you should know. And you should be able to tell that. You should be able to tell that. If they love God and if they love the things of God, you should be able to tell that. You see? Whether they like to pray with you or if they don't want to pray at all. If they like to read the Bible with you and have family Bible study, are they really not into the scriptures at all? You should know, amen, whether they love to be in worship, whether they're singing the songs of Zion, the songs of God, or they looking to sing other songs. You should know that. You should know if they have an attraction for worldly music or attraction for worship. You should know that. And that knowledge, amen, we're going to talk about how to apply that knowledge here. And the second point, listen, you should know whether they like to come to church and be in church and be amongst the people of God in the house of God, listening to the word of God. And you should know whether they don't want to be here, whether it's the last place they want to be. You should know it, make a mental note of it, write it down, amen, because with this, you see, knowledge is power. You with me so far? See, because when you know some things and you make a mental note, you should know how to act from that point. And we'll talk about it here in a second. But we got some parents, amen, they see it, but they kind of suppressing the knowledge. They don't want to know it. No. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you or make you free. Amen? Come on, give God some glory. You got to know some things. You got to know if your children fear God. If you show them a commandment from God, thou shalt not steal. And they look at it, they know it, and they go ahead and break the law anyway. You should know if they fear God or not. You should know, amen, whether they are obedient to authority. You should know that about your kids. Whether they listen to parental authority, whether they listen to ecclesiastical authority, I mean like the church and church leaders. Know if your kids listen in school or not. know, amen, if they got a little job, if they're going to listen to the supervisor and the boss. All of this knowledge is going to produce a game plan for you. You hear me? All of the knowledge is going to produce a game plan for you. So you could know how to raise them and get the best out of your child that you can get. Come on, give God some glory, amen. But you got to know some things. All right? Know if they lie. Know if they lie. I know it's hard to say my child is a liar, but know if they lie. Some of them lie. Some little liars. Look at you dead in your eye. I ain't ate it. Know if your children cheat. And you can know from small. If they can't win the fairway, they're going to win any kind of way. Know it. Because when you know it, that knowledge is going to be powerful for you. You're going to know what situations to put your children in and which ones not to. Know if they lie. Know if they cheat. Know if they steal. I know it hurts. But some of your children got Spider-Man fingers. Stuff just... I'm sorry, Mom. It just stuck to my hand. Some of your children steal. You see? Do you have an active knowledge of that? You see? And you know you struggle with the same thing. Back then, we used to call it the five-finger discount. All right? And your family was known as that family that would roll through the Acadiana Mall and stop in the hood, pop up the trunk, selling Jordans for $20. Jabos, you know what I'm saying? It got a little stain, a little dye stain from breaking it off in the store. G-Money, don't you laugh. You know what I'm... We hood. We walk in the north side covering the dye stain. Next thing you know, the dye stain is in style. People buying their jeans, taking a permanent marker, a Sharpie, and putting that on there. So know that about your children. Whether they lie, cheat, steal, whether they brag, boast, everything they get, they showing off. Know that about your children. Know that they speak, hallelujah, with foul language. Know that about them. Know if they talk too much. For in the multitude of words, sin is present. Know that if they talk too much. Know if they have a problem with gossip and slander. It's easy to tell, especially if you look and your daddy talking, your mama talking. They're all some gossips. 9 times out of 10, whether you know it or not, sin passes down the family tree. You see? Know that. You see? You see, those are the outside things. But can I help you? Amen. Hallelujah, look inside your child's heart, all right? Because listen, there's a group of you in here, hallelujah, you don't know them at all. And the first part, amen, is blessing you. There's another group, you know your kids, and you know, yeah, they stole that in Walmart. They do have a little problem. But what I want to do is to get you to go deeper. Open up that heart and find out why they steal. Find out why they lie and why they cheat. Is it fear? Are they scared of not having something? Is it pride? They want to get to school and show off to everybody else? Is it covetousness? Is it a greed that's in there? You know, is it because they jealous and they friend God and they just have to have it? Is it because they envious? Which is stronger than jealousy, and the friend got it, and the friend put it down for 1 second, and that envy say, not only do I want it, but I don't want you to have it. What is in the heart of your child? What is in that? You look at the problem, but it's punching somebody, but do you know why they punch? Do you know why they're angry? Do you know why they're angry, man? Do you know that it's linked to when your husband walked out on y'all and they upset about that? Do you know that they're angry because they're really angry at God because things didn't work out in their life? Why are they angry? What they mad about? You know what I'm saying? Is it grudges? Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? Are they holding on to some things? Are you one of the parents that, amen, you come to school and they kind of act out and you're just looking at the symptom and not really the sickness? You see, because when you could know your child, amen, you could do heart surgery. You can open that thing up. Some of y'all just whipping for the fruit, and you picking the fruit. You taking care of the branch, but if you don't deal with the root, hey, you could deal with how many fruits you want, but every season, them oranges, them tangerines, they going to come back because you ain't dealt with the bottom line issue of what happened to that child. Do you know your children tonight? Do you know them? Do you know that when you go through, they grow through too? Do you know that when you break up, they break up too? Do you know them? You know? Do you know them? The reason they hit because they saw you hit. And so we need to get to a point of knowledge, y'all. Why are they jealous? Why are they proud? Why are they easily angry? Why are they hold grudges? You know? You got to be able to see, amen, whether they, hallelujah, struggle, amen, admitting when they're wrong. You got to be able to see if they repent to God after they sin. As a parent, your job primarily is to be a watcher. And what you watch is their heart. And while you watch their heart, the Bible says, guard your heart. Because out of it flows the issues of life. You see, your child lives out of this thing. And if you never get to cleaning this up, you could do whatever you want. They still going to turn out twisted and messed up because you never got to the heart of the matter. Anybody hear me up in here? Do you know your children? All right? For out of the heart, Jesus says, proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. It comes from the heart. But I'm here to tell you that as parents and grandparents, we can get that heart right by the power of Almighty God with His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. And obeying Him. And our children can have a launching pad into their future. That's higher than ours was. That's better than ours was. A lot of the stuff that we struggle with today, that I'm getting off in the next point, that mess up our marriages today, that all could have been dealt with when we was this high. Anybody hearing me up in here? You know? All right, so know it. Know if they struggle with faith. Believe in God, or whether they kind of doubtful like Thomas. It's nothing wrong. We all got our little idiosyncrasies. We all have our errors of weakness. I'm not trying to say that one child is better than the other. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. We were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. It's not an issue, amen, of you putting your child under the category of sinner. No, we all sinners, but you want to figure out what sin are they predisposed to. You want to know them like that. You know, want to know them like that. Are they fearful or courageous? Do they love people or hate people? Do they love the world, love money, love pleasure? Have a problem with lust? You can know that from here. Sexual immorality. Are you seeing tendencies, behavioral patterns that would suggest that they would struggle with homosexuality in the future? You could know that. And develop a plan of action to make sure they be all that God want them to be. I got a few more. I can't stop, B. Do you know if they good workers or they lazy? Oh, yeah, I'm talking to y'all. Yeah. Yeah. You gonna know? Fix the bit. I ain't fixing a bit. You ain't fixing. Are you raising lazy children? Are you raising quitters who just quit everything they do? Are you raising kids with grit and tenacity that's going to finish what they start? All right, I'm just asking you, all right? So you could know all that about your children. For time's sake, I got to keep moving. Because you can know more if you would just take some time. You see, the reasons we don't know our kids, I'm going to give you a few reasons, all right? We don't know our kids, number one, because we're not taking the time to watch our kids. That's number one. We're not watching our kids. And listen, we're not watching our kids for a myriad of different reasons, all right? A lot of the times it's because we're not spending time because we're too busy. All right? Some of y'all in here, y'all love work so much. Amen. I don't want to put the W word on you, but some of y'all could qualify as workaholics. Amen. See, I got a couple of laughs, and that was it. All right? Because you find your source of joy, your identity, and everything else, not in Christ, but in your work. All right? And while you're working, you're missing watching. All right? Because you're not looking at your kids. And even at home, you're still working. You got that phone, you're texting, you're emailing, you're doing all kind of stuff. And that child doing all kind of stuff, living a whole life, and you're not even watching. You're not even watching. You're not even seeing. All right? You're not even seeing. And because you're not watching and seeing, some stuff going to get past you. All right? It's not getting past you at work, but it's getting past you at home, which is way more important than work. Come on, give God some glory. Amen? All right? Some of y'all, amen, you're working too much. Y'all getting two or three jobs trying to get this thing going. And here it is, all right, we're living in a generation where we say, I want my child to have more things than I had. And so we go to work for stuff, all right? We want to give them more stuff, all right? But when they get old, that stuff is gone, all right? What they really need is for us to unpack some things out that heart and pack some other things in that heart. It's not the stuff that they need that's going to help them in life, but us really watching them, and as we get to our second point, really shepherding them, amen, that's going to give them a wonderful life, hallelujah, when we long gone. We trying to work all these jobs to give them the best place to stay, to buy them an Xbox, a 360, to get them a Sony PlayStation. You're working that night job all night. You're not even there to put your children to bed. Wow. And you could be working a job and making just a little less. You see what I'm saying? But you're there when your children need you. And you're raising them, all right? All right? Hey, I'm just saying. Oh, I'm going to get a lot of emails after this one. If David would have known his son, none of this would have happened. Come on, Pastor, keep going. We're not watching them, all right? Too busy, workaholics. Some people don't really care. They're selfish. They're doing them. And so while they're in the club, while they're at the casino, amen, them children raising themselves, all right? And the Bible says a child left to themselves is going to bring their mother shame, all right? So we don't know them because we're not watching them because we're doing us. We're doing us. And single ladies, single daddies, amen, not really raising kids because they're doing them. They move from relationship to relationship. They're trying to see who they could be with and who they could talk to. Amen. And that child just by themselves. Amen. They loving this man this week, this man next week, another man next month. And that child looking, when you going to love me? When you going to see me? When you going to see me? Just slow down. Just slow down and watch them. Slow down and watch them. Put your eyes on them. You'd be surprised what will happen to our community, especially the Hebrew black community. You'd be surprised if we learn how to raise our kids again. You'd be surprised if we learn how to watch our kids again. You see, but we don't believe the Ashkenazi lie that it's not our job to raise our kids. We put them on that bus and we ship them over there to that school, that Ashkenazi Luciferian school, and it's their job to raise them. And the devil is a liar. Deuteronomy 6, that parents say, parents teach the children. Ephesians 6 and 4, raise up your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They ain't never always had schools. Ain't nothing about a school in the Bible. The primary teachers of the children are the parents. And guess who's going to be accountable when we stand before that judgment seat? It's going to be the parents. It's going to be the parents. So listen, we have an obligation to watch them, man, to put bold eyes on them. Oh, man, stuff just coming. I got mail coming. Pastor, what does it mean to watch my kid? Huh? Does it mean for me to cook and just have them in front of the TV? Does it mean for me, hallelujah, to just be with my friends and cutting up on my phone, Facebooking, Snapchatting? While they in the same room with me? Nah. You know what watching your kids is? Watching them, putting your eyes on them. Watching what they do. Their tendencies. strengths, weaknesses, sins, predispositions. Putting your ear on them. Listening to their conversations. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. If you just listen to them, you will know what's in that. If you just pay attention to what they're saying. And that's why I always say we need to get back to spending time eating like a family again. You'd be surprised what an hour every night or every other night would do, and you'd be surprised what them kids talk about. And you'll figure out everything. And sometimes they'll say something and say, did I say that? Ooh. And I say, oh, yeah, you said it. And then you can deal with some things. All right? We got to know our kids. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Y'all still up out there? All right. Let me see. Hallelujah. All right, I have here, listen, let's just be real. Parents busy fighting one another, arguing, rolling in the house. Y'all remember how we came, huh? Worried about each other and not watching them kids. You see? All right? Parents worrying about paying a bill, making ends meet. Oh, I have it right here. Thank you, Lord. Parents caught up in their vices and not watching their kids. The alcohol, the drugs, the adultery. You see? Parents running wild, being around the city with everybody else. That child coloring their hair green and orange, trying to get some attention. Walk up in the house. How's my hair? It's pretty. It's all right. What's that? All right. Y'all still up? All right. Do you know your kids? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So we're not watching them. We have an unbiblical love for our children. And all that is that we have a love that don't speak truth. Everybody else see our children but us. That's an unbiblical love. When they tell us about our kids, we run the school, PCA, the teacher tell them, your child is not my child. Oh, no, not my child. Unbiblical love. Or you're not watching. All right? Or, number three, you have the same problem. See, because it's hard to see something when you have the same problem. All right? You and your child colorblind. Of course you ain't going to see the different hues and shades of color. Now, let's bring it to not just colorblind, but you and your child violent. Hit people. And so you don't see a problem with that. If you have the same problem and had not allowed God to deal with that problem in you, how in the world are you going to see it and address it in your child? It's never going to happen. You see, Jesus said, first you got to get the beam out of your eye before you remove the speck out of somebody else's eye. Number four, you could just be simple, all right? I don't mean that to be mean, amen, but we got some people float around life like butterflies. And they don't see nothing but the top of the flower. They don't see nothing else underneath. They don't see the ant piles, nothing bad. They're just simple, man. And so if you simple, amen, and you just don't look deeper into anything, you see, in the day and age we live in, it's going to be hard to be simple because they got wolves in sheep's clothing out there. And I'm begging you, don't be simple, amen. The simple believe it every word, amen. The simple see danger and run right into it, amen. It's the prudent man, amen, that think wise into his ways. It's the prudent man that foresee a danger and hide himself. And so the prudent person will look at their child and say, I know what she's telling me, but what's really going on? You see? All right, I got another one. Why we don't see our children. Number five, tired. Dog tired. Single parent, grandchildren, raising kids, you're just tired. You're too tired. See, I ain't looking at nothing. Only thing I want to see is my pillow. And if that's the case, amen, you got to rely upon teachers, the church, professionals, to be able to speak into your life and tell you what's going on in them kids' lives, amen. And probably get yourself in a situation where you're not so tired. Come on, we got to move, y'all. Let's move to the second point. Come on, let's move to the second point. So, Pastor, what happens once I know my child? The second thing you got to do is begin to shepherd your child. Somebody say shepherd. Yeah. I'm talking about, hallelujah, a shepherd, amen, with sheep, a flock, amen. You got to shepherd the children. You see, You not only have to know them, hallelujah, glory to God, but you got to do some things to intervene before they get old, all right? This scripture in Proverbs that we looked at in 20, it says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Let me tell you what some commentators say about this, B. It not only said that we can know our child by watching what they do, we not only can know them for the present, but we can know them for the future. Isn't that something? I'm talking about no miracles, no intervention by God, no divine deliverance, miraculous salvation, born again. I'm just talking about your child right now, the way they act, 9 times out of 10, if nothing happens, they're going to act the same way when they get old. You see, I didn't get no claps, no amens. Thank you, Lord. Look, the pulpit commentary says this. His conduct will help you prognosticate, predict his future. Meaning that you can look at a child the way they act right now, and you can write their future out. Everything that's going to happen, especially if you know the word of God and you know the ways of God and you know the ways of man. You listen, there's some people you grew up with. When you saw them in the paper and they were arrested, you say, yep. Is that not the truth? Yep. My wife do it to me all the time. I'm about to say the name. I'm not going to say his name. You say, yep, he was bad. He was really bad. All right? Because a child is known by his doings, even his future, even her future. All right? Hallelujah. Barnes commentary says this. The earliest actions of children are prophecies of the future, whether they will be pure, right, clean, unclean, good, or evil. You see how important it is to know your children? You see? You can tell what kind of man or woman they're going to be if their actions are left unchecked. You see? Whatever we allow our children to do today will be a root for future fruit. You see? A lot of the stuff they're doing right now when they're small look cute. But it's not going to be cute when they're 17, 18, 21, 30. A judge ain't going to think that's cute. You see? What you talking about, Pastor? Well, listen, if left unchecked, if you don't shepherd their actions, all right, that little talking back right now, that little smart mouth, all right, get in the car. I don't want to get in the car. You don't want to. You do what? You want, wait, what you want? You don't want to what? That talking back right now. Now listen, some of our older parents know what I'm talking about. If they could go back, they would have done things tremendously different, especially since they're in Christ right now. You know, but maybe they could help with them grandkids or them nieces and them nephews. You see what I'm saying? But that talking back right now, it seemed cute when they small. You be around people, they laugh when their children curse and cuss and all that stuff like that. When they got 5 boyfriends, that's all cute right now. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, she got 5 boyfriends now, but what about later when she grow up and she got 5 baby daddies? What I'm trying to say is that those actions when they small gonna produce a harvest in the future if we don't shepherd them and take care of it. So if left unchecked, the little talking back, all right? Because some of your family look at y'all and how you raise your kids and, oh, you're hard. No, I'm not hard on them. I love them to pieces. In fact, if I left them alone, it would be a sign that I don't love them. You see what I'm saying? But I love them so much, I'm not going to let them continue to argue with authority. Because when they argue with you when they're small, when they get a little older, middle school, high school, the talking back become an all-out, hallelujah, war of words. Slamming doors. Don't come in my room. Your room. Your room. Oh, what is it? Let me shake back. You see, if you don't deal with it, amen, you know how it is. You see? You got to weed that flower bed while they just popping up. You got to deal with that thorn bush, amen, when it's small. You don't wait until something grow, because it can grow out of control, and now you're trying to chop down something big. You're trying to uproot something that's tearing up your plumbing now. But when it started small, you could have dealt with it. So you know your children's sins and their predispositions, and you got to begin to shepherd them while they're young and while they're small. No, we're not playing that talking back. Because when you get old, it's going to be all out of war. And I done had some counseling sessions where them kids even get so bad, starting off talking back like that. And now they swinging licks with mama, fighting with mama. I done been in courtroom. I'm looking at, baby, how you hit your mama, baby? How you hit your mama? You know? It started right here, man. You think that it just happened? That like a good kid, perfect kid, just break out and go to 25 years. You think that just happened like that? That hitting other kids look cute? Oh, yeah, it look cute now. There's nothing wrong with him hitting kids. He's defending himself. And I understand defending himself, you know? But they running Bloods and Crips and preschool. It's cool. It's a problem. You don't want your child to be a brawler. They turn to violent men. And they're not fighting no more out there in them streets. They're stabbing and shooting right now. So your child could end up getting shot, stabbed, or doing the shooting. And it starts while they're in Pampers. How to handle conflict. Whether they put their hands on somebody or whether they talk. And the way they handle conflict now, as you're shepherding them, is going to be the way they handle conflict in marriage. And it shows whether they're going to put their fists on their wife's face, whether they're going to try to kick that wife while she's down, whether they're going to be taking domestic violence classes, amen, downtown with Judge Saloon, or whether they're going to know how to talk an issue out, because you shepherded them and you showed them the Christian way, the godly way of how to handle dispute resolutions. Listen to me. We done fell off. We're not really raising our children in the hood no more. I come with you a message to return to the old ways. To come back with me. Come back with me and stop allowing other people to take care of our responsibilities, man. Because if you don't raise that child, LPCC going to raise them. Angola going to raise them. Dixon Correctional Center going to raise them. But you could deal with that now. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Dressing like a harlot. Y'all think that's cute now. Y'all got them babies wearing little shorts. They wearing exercise clothes and the baby, they too young to exercise. What they wearing them little shorts, them little exercise shorts. Now here's the deal, all right? Here's the deal. I'm telling you. All right? You're going to dress your little girl like that. Feel me now. And you the same one, Christian, that hate walking through the mall. And your married man got to keep his eye on the fire, on the sprinkler system. He got to walk like this. He got to keep his head up. And you mad. Look at him dressing like that. You raising her to do the exact same thing. What you think, that she just going to dress immodest up to a certain age? She going to keep wanting to dress like that. But Pastor, she ain't got no shape yet. I know. But them Hebrew women, they, Lord have mercy. Let's get back to the word. Come on, listen. Whether they got a shape or not is the principle. You put clothes on them. I'm not talking about going apostolic turtlenecks in the summer. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, you know, you're not wearing no shirts with no backs. And shirts that have like some, your baby ain't, you know what I'm saying. She look like a little boy. There's no difference. But you got the shirt that's acting like something. Now when she get older, what kind of shirt she going to want? What kind of shirt she going to want? Know them. Shepherd them. Shepherd them. Train up a child in the way that they should go. Not the way they want to go. Not the way you think they should go. The way they should go. The word of God. You train them up. You bring them there. You bring them there. You see? Don't take lightly little sins, y'all. Don't take lightly little sins. And don't mean you got to beat your children. You ain't got to do that. But when you see them little sins, listen, listen, wisdom come two ways in the Bible for our children. Of course, number one, the rod of correction bringeth wisdom. But that's not the only way, no. And even if you go that way, there's a method to doing that, a prescribed method. It's not abuse. It's not in anger. It's not whipping them everywhere under their feet, got whelps. You understand what I'm saying? They rolling around in the bed, look like an action movie. The way you whip, you up in the, yeah. No, it's real mechanical. Come here, Johnny. You know what you did wrong? Yeah. What you did wrong? Well, I stole that car last week. Johnny, you're three. You shouldn't be stealing no car. Get over the bed, Johnny. I'm going to give you three licks. Come on, Daddy, two of them. Not this, not three of them, two of them. I'm going to give you three. You ready? All right. You know I got to do this, right, John? Yeah, Dad. If I don't do this, I'm sinning against the law because the Lord told me to raise you in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and I got to do this, and you need this rod right here, and the rod bring it wisdom, and you need wisdom. If I don't do this, I am disobeying God. And I'm going to give you three. Real cold, real cool. Pop, pop, pop. Afterwards, we hug. I love you. It's good. It's good. It's good, all right? The other way is through reproof. Reproof brings wisdom. Meaning that, amen, when you see something wrong and it don't deserve a whipping, you admonish them. You know, or maybe you're in some kind of place, Walmart, you don't want to break out of paddling and start paddling people in Walmart. You're going to go to jail in this day and age. So you just tell them, listen, I don't want you doing that, you know? So there's some ways you got to handle some stuff. Y'all, we got to get going, y'all, all right? If David would have seen the lust and the sexual immorality, if he'd have known it and thought about the ramifications of it later, and if he would have shepherded his child, amen, this thing would not have happened. Got this book called Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, and he talks about how to get in there and unpack the issues of the heart of your children. It's a real good read, man. It's Shepherding a Child's Heart, Ted Tripp, and we learned so much from it, amen, on how to raise our girls, and little Omar. Y'all pray for us with Omar, amen, pray for us. And that's why the Lord had us have him last. Hallelujah, his grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. So here it is. Listen, and you got to get on it quick because we only have a few years to train them. We only have a few years to shepherd them, to lead them, all right? Only have a few years. If we have 18 years with our kids, if they leave at 18, from the birth to 18, we have 6,570 days. That's all. That's all we have. And every day, that number gets smaller, all right? Now, if you have children already, and they done, I mean, yeah, some years done passed. So like Annalise 7 going on 8, all right? So I got 10 years left with Annalise. Annalise, so I have 3,600 50 days left to shepherd her, you know? Now, Grace is like turning 11 in January, right? I got 7 more years with Grace, 2,555 days to help her unpack those issues that we see, that we know, so she can make herself a good wife, an awesome business owner, a wonderful woman of God. You know what I'm saying? And it's my job to do that so that her husband won't have to go through so much. You know what I'm saying? Her husband come up and say, you this. And she said, I never heard that a day in my life. No, not in the T-Bow home. Her husband going to say, you got a problem with this? She said, I know, my daddy told me. And I've been having this problem since I was 6. Keep me under prayer. Right? That's the parent's job. It shouldn't be nothing new under the sun for your children and they get out in the world. No new things. Like, you know what I'm saying? I got to law school and they told me, they said, you proud? I'm proud. I ain't never heard that before. Proud. I had to go look up what that means. I wish somebody would have told me that. You know? But I had to learn the hard way. I tell you what, I don't operate in pride too much no more. All right, third and final point, y'all. So, okay, we got to know. Then we got to put that knowledge into activity, actually shepherding them. All right? Dealing with those issues of the heart, putting around a correction when it need to be put, rebuking them, amen, not putting them in situations where they're going to fail, you know? And when people come to us and tell us that our children did something, stop acting like they're angels. I've been in court. Now, that mama know that boy been hustling since he was 7. She getting caught. I can't believe he sold a single drug. And what you doing with Gucci shoes on? And no, and shepherd. Third point. Come on, we got to get out of here. Y'all keeping me now. Do not aid and abet your children. All right? You know them now. You know them. You're trying your best to lead them in the way they should go. Shepherd them out of those activities. Don't do the opposite. Don't aid and abet them in their sinful predispositions. What we see David do right here is aid and abet Amnon. Amnon say, you get Tamar and bring her to my house. He was part of the plan. He played a role. He was aiding and abetting. He was a conspirator. You know what I'm saying? He put his hand in with them. The devil and Amnon used David to deliver his own daughter to her rapist. Listen to me good. When you know your children, don't you dare let your children ever get you in a situation where you aiding and abetting them to sin against the Most High God. Don't you participate in their sin. Don't you do that. That's not your job, amen, to get them sinning. It's not your job to get them to disobey God. It's your job to lead them to the Most High. And David did that, y'all. I'm not coming hard on him or down on him. He did that because he didn't know. We already saw he was a very busy parent. He had a lot of things going on that wasn't right. And so he didn't pay attention to him as much. He might not have known the predispositions. But you know, don't let him aid and abet you. Don't let him put you in that category. You see? Yeah. Pastor, listen, how does that look? Well, don't aid and abet them. You know? When the teacher tell you that they did something, don't go to school fussing with the teacher. You know what I'm saying? PTA, parent-teacher conference. You know what I'm saying? Become one of them fight clubs. What do they call it? UFC. PTA become UFC. You up in there fighting with the teacher. Oh, no, not my child. Don't aid and abet them. In the hood, Deli, you know how it is. That child that like to fight, go in the street and go fight. What mama do? Mama come stop him? Mama jump in there. Now, mama and daughter jump in the gut. Police come, where the mama at? I'm right here. I was getting her too. No. No, that's not how you teach your children. The street done taught us to be down with them when they're wrong. We point them to the right. Don't aid and abet. Don't buy immodest clothing. Don't buy them immodest clothing. Don't dress them like no prostitute. No heart. Don't dress them like that. If you're going to go get it, you go get it yourself. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not buying that music for you. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not aiding and abetting you. I'm not letting you dress like a little boy when you're a girl, and I'm not letting you dress like a little girl when you're a boy. I'm not buying those clothes. You're not doing that in my house. I'm not letting you do that. If you do that, you better bring the clothes. You're going to buy the clothes, then bring it in a book sack to school. Then you're going to change. And if I find out it's on. But listen, listen. I'm not aiding and abetting. You know the little boy full of lust. Why you won't give him a phone with no filter on it? Full internet. You get down to go in the store, the little boy never want to get down with you. Why? He in the car looking at pornography. And you paying the phone bill. You ate in the bed. You let him be alone with little girls. You let him come by the house. And it's not like when back in the day when the girl and the boy used to sit in the living room, you let him go in the room. You ate in the bed. Y'all all right out there? You put cable on with your money. You let them watch BET, MTV, every movie, rated R, whatever. You let them watch all that. You let them get all the music. And you aid and abet in their worldliness. You can't understand why they don't like the things of God, why they don't like church, why they don't like God's music. Because you done gave them an appetite for a whole nother world. Amen. That's more tasty to the tongue. More tasty temporarily. You're aiding and abetting the worldliness of your children. You see? Listen, the Bible tells us that God is going to deal with parents like that. I don't have time, but in 1 Samuel 2, go ahead and read 1 Samuel chapter 2. It talks about Eli and the sons of Eli. And how they were sinners. And they were sleeping with the women in the church and in the temple and all that. You remember that story? And Eli didn't do too much about it. God told Eli, listen, because you're letting your sons do that and you ain't really stepping up like a man at your house, he said, listen, you're honoring your sons more than you honor me. And I'm going to deal with you and I'm going to deal with your sons. And if you know the story, you know what God do to Eli and his sons. To the parents, amen, know them, shepherd them, raise them right. Don't aid and abet. Don't you get caught up, amen, in their judgment, amen. Hallelujah. You do the best you can to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You give them the Bible, you give them the word, you bring them to church. Ultimately, their decision is going to have to be made whether they love God or not. But for one thing, amen, don't let them drag you to hell with them. You know what I'm saying? All right? To my young people up in here, let me give you a scripture. And I'm on my way out. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Just want to show you a scripture. Young person, you don't really like church, you don't really like the Lord, you're not really, you into this worldly stuff. Let me give you a little warning, all right? Oh, pastor, is them kind of words? Yes, it is. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Paul is saying they're not going to heaven if they love the wrong that they're doing. They love it. They live in it. It's what they're after. It's the pattern of life. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself, young person. You got this appetite for the world. You like to do wrong. Don't fool yourself. You're not on your way to heaven. You're on your way to another place. Those who indulge in, look what Paul's saying, sexual sin, worship idols, commit adultery. It's a pattern of lifestyle. Male prostitutes, practice homosexuality. You see that? Keep on going to verse 10. Thieves, greedy, drunkards, abusive, cheat people. None of these, what the Bible say? None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. If you're living like that, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. You can't be living in a habitual practice of these things and think that you're going to get in. There's some here today, amen. This scripture right here convicts you. And it scares you. Because you say, pastor, right now, I'm one of these things. And you just told me that I can't get into heaven like that. That's right. That's what the Bible said. You see? You can't. Not on your own. But with Jesus Christ, you can. With forgiveness, you can. With salvation, you can. All right? The last scripture I have for you is this. Listen, I'm on my way. Pastor, you said you're on your way three times already. But this is the third time is the charm. Matthew 12:33. This is it. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. What caught my attention here, amen, is that you can actually make a tree good. If you start off a certain particular way, you don't have to stay that way. And if we understand the Bible, we all start off as bad trees. For there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible tells us. There's not a man or a woman amongst us who sinned it not. We all start off as bad trees. We born in sin. We shapen in iniquity. But the good news is, though we're born in sin, we can be born again. Born a bad tree. But God can make us good trees. He said, make the tree good and the fruit going to be good. You see, you got some people trying as bad trees to produce good fruit. That you can't do that. The issue is a heart issue. It's a root issue. It's a source issue. And God say, listen, you come to me. You be saved. And I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new start. Hallelujah. And those that's in Christ, old things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen. The things you couldn't do to be right after you get saved, they come easy for you. They come. You could do it a little bit better. You could not curse as much. You could not fight and you could not brawl. And that's salvation. You see what I'm saying? Look, listen, tonight I'm going to pray with you. And those that's not saved, especially our young people, you could be saved tonight. Salvation is easy as ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Confess him. Call upon him with your mouth. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will never neglect or turn his back on not a single person that call upon him. We're going to call upon him and pray tonight. Stand with me, please. Stand with me. I kept you a little late. We had a worship service earlier. I kept you a little late. Amen. Amen. But let's pray. Somebody say, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you. For loving me. Thank you. That tonight I can become a new tree. A good tree. Producing good fruit. I admit I've sinned. And I'm sorry. But I believe that you died for me on the cross. You were buried in a grave. And you rose on the third day. Lord, save me, a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Fill me with your spirit, your wisdom, your knowledge, and use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. So good to see you.
God bless you.
So good to see you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us. Be gracious to us. Hallelujah, and bless you with peace, with shalom. I pray you have a good week this week. We stayed a little late. I pray he give you an extra sleep tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Love you too. Be blessed. Good to see you, my brother. Hey, Abigail.
Your feet.